Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through.
Man, I have to do it here because it's the only way I get good enough.
Hello, folks, and thank you once again for coming to Bard's Logic, Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist. And you can find the Patriot Journalist by going to www.patriotjournalist.com and check out all that's to be about. And also, just going to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Now tonight we have a special guest coming to talk with us. It's kind of a guest host here with us tonight, and that is Cindy Todd from the Republican Club of West Volusia, Florida, and she joins Bard's Logic tonight to discuss Mark Wilson's 8-point plan to turn things around for the GOP. And I contend that if the grassroots and conservatism are to have any influence in the Republican Party, people must get involved. And part of that involvement is to get into what we have to discuss tonight and go through the ways to help Mark Willis get the nomination and then move on to defeat Rince Priebus for the RNC chair. So the nomination is this Thursday, so of course action must be taken pretty immediately, and we'll discuss more on that tonight. And the vote for the chairmanship of the RNC is being voted on this Friday, the 25th, and as always, chat participation and callers are welcome to participate, or of course you can just listen to the show to hear how you can get involved and make the difference. And at this time, I will be turning on this Cindy Todd's mic to join us. Thank you very much, Cindy, for calling in. How are you?
Hey there, Robert. I hope that my voice, whoever you are, I hope my voice holds
up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, you can call me Ray, and you can call me Faye, and whatever you want.
Hey, you, whichever, you know.
So I hope my voice holds out. I'm getting over a cold.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, there I see in chat, saying hello to everybody. Thank you, everyone who are in chat. And also, I'd like to thank everyone who's come in through the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. Or if you are here on the someone's got a speakerphone on. Probably wouldn't be good.
I'll turn it off.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, because then I get that echo. And also, of course, if you're on listening to this recorded session on the archives, thank you very much for coming as well. So we'll start off with you, Cindy, as I like to give deference, of course, to the ladies. And so give us a little background on what you'd like to see tonight and so some of the things that's been going on with your Republican club there in Florida.
Okay, well... I presented the information that I've been getting all over Facebook. This is not anything that is my creation. I just thought that the more people we could get out there and get the word to you, the better. So I'm calling, you know, I've been just calling everybody and saying, you know, come listen to Robert's show and, you know, Facebook messaging and all. And I brought all of this to my club. After I saw the article, somebody, of course, posted, well, more than one person posted the articles that have been up about Mark Willis running for chairman. And particularly one of the articles was his 8 points. How to, you know, reform the party and get everybody back together and unified. And I brought that before my Republican club, and they were very receptive to it. They had already heard a little bit about what had been going on at the convention, but really didn't know, you know, details. But it's amazing, as soon as you tell people what the facts are, what went on, they're appalled, they can't believe it, and they're ready to go to work and try to help. So our Republican club, and I believe our executive committee also, sent the letter of resolution that somebody had put up. Now, I think it was Chris. I'm not sure. But anyway, I sent that sample resolution out to, you know, we sent it out to our committee man, committee woman, and chairman here in the state of Florida. And I've also been telling people individually to either call Republican headquarters or email them, because they all have email pages where you can contact them. And that's what we've been doing. And I think on our show tonight, our show.
that's right. Well, that's right. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Of course, our show. It's not just no, it's not just Robert, you know, Robert's show. No, Bard's Logic, at least the way I like to see it, is the grassroots show, the conservative show, you know, the people show. You know, so if you, by you saying our show, I've got no problem with that. So you don't need to apologize.
All right. Well, for tonight, it's our show.
There you go.
Anyway,
okay.
I think our project for tonight is twofold. First, we're going to educate as many of the grassroots people, the real conservatives, as possible, on the Republican Party problems and these things that are keeping us from winning elections and keeping the grassroots silenced. And then the second part is we need to give them tools to make adjustments and solve problems with. And we've got a good tool tonight by handing them the resolution and saying, look, write, email this, Facebook message this to your committeeman, your committeewoman, your chairman of your party in your state, and even in your district, because if I'm not mistaken, I think that even district.
Real quick, Cindy, I apologize for interrupting, but someone from the chat here, because I've got a couple of chats I'm looking at. This one is from the folks listening on Facebook, where they're like, if you could turn up the gain of the volume so we can hear you better, that'd be great. I know you have a cold, so that might not be as doable. So if the folks have a hard time hearing Ms. Todd, I apologize if they could just turn up their volume instead, because I know you've been battling a cold. We'll just do the best we can. Go ahead. Sorry for interrupting you, Cindy.
That's okay. This is hilarious, Robert, because I have never been accused of being too quiet. Anyway, it's my voice, and I'm going to try to speak up as much as I can, but if I talk too loud, I won't last as long as I have to. All right. So anyway, first of all, I think we need to do some informing about what the national RNC corruption has been about lately, how they literally shut down the conservative grassroots and Christian voice at this 2012 presidential election. And I think we need to play some tapes and play some, you know, sound clips of some of the things that went on. You got some of that ready?
Sure, sure. I mean, one of the first ones that may have become one of the more, you know, popular ones, so to speak, is the one where you can hear where the nays are ignored. And I'll give a little background. Is, of course, we've heard that, and then, of course, the chanting of the USA, USA to try to drown out the nays, is that where, little background, where you have Boehner, unfortunately reelected Boehner, He wasn't reelected at the time, but you know what I mean, is reading from a prompter, not really mattering what the outcome was, and saying that the yeas have it. And here is one of those audios. There it is, right here.
And the opinion of the chair is the ayes have it and the motion is agreed to.
And there you have it. There's a short clip there of the nays that have pretty much been ignored. And then, of course, you know, they're yelling USA to try to drown the dissent out. So there's one example of, I believe, what you're talking about, right, Cindy? Or were you thinking of a different clip? Or I've gotten any more.
Well, that's one of them. And, you know, I sent you that. You got my message the other day, right?
Yes, I did. I was able to get some audios. I love some of those. Sure.
Yeah, several people took some really good cell phone clips of that, and particularly disturbing was the one that was taken from behind Boehner, looking at the teleprompter, reading the words that he was supposed to say, and naturally, since it was already scripted to happen, he said the ayes have it, but it was not even close to clear. They needed to do some kind of a hand vote or a paper ballot vote or something. And also, you'll notice that he said there was no opposition. Well, there's been several accounts of the guy in the Rules Committee who, his name is escaping me, but anyway, there were several accounts of the guy who was supposed to bring the opposition letter to the rules. If that had gotten in there, they would have had to have done this as a paper ballot vote or something. It would have had to be done more precisely because that was according to the rules. But they kept him on a bus circling the convention three or four times, I don't know, two, three times, and kept him out there for like 2 hours where it was too late for him to deliver the opposition letter documents. So this is the kind of thing they were doing, and it's got to be stopped. And I think that Mark Willis is the person to stop it. And we have all been very supportive of him on this show, on Chris's show, on Tex and Rex's show. But people just don't know about him. And so it's up to us to get the word out. It's also up to us to let our leadership, our state leadership, know that this has got to change. And we'll go over the rules change in a minute.
Yeah, and you mentioned Florida, and I have something here speaking about Rex from the Rex and Tech Show, which normally, folks, you can hear on Sunday evenings from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. And just tell me about the StepDownNow.com. And on there you can see under /states/supporting/Priebus/ is an update, which was updated on the 16th, which was about 6 days ago, so some of this may have changed. And you mentioned Florida, and at least as of the 16th, it looks like that Florida has not as of yet pledged their support for either Rince Priebus or Mark Willis. So for the folks in Florida, of course everyone called their state chairpersons. They call them in the state there because they have not seemed to have made a pledge, at least if not that date. And I believe that if there was an update after the 16th, it would have made it to this website, so which is a grassroots activism website. So go ahead, Cindy. I just wanted to bring that point up.
No, that's okay. I'm glad you did, because I just wanted to tell you that we had a couple of, I guess they were some chairmen from a district. They were delegates. They were on the rules committee, and they got kicked off the rules committee because of their association with, I believe it was Ron Paul, but anyway, they were unwilling to sign. You know, Romney was making everybody sign the document that they were going to support him during the first.
Right, I remember talking about that. Mm-hmm.
Even though they weren't even supposed to be his delegates, anybody that came in there needed to have sign a paper that, you know, he was just getting everybody to sign, and anybody he could find that wouldn't sign. You know, they had bus loaded tons of people in, people to replace these delegates with Romney's
mm-hmm.
people, and even on the committee, those two Floridians got kicked off the committee because they wouldn't play ball. And that's just, you know, one more thing that went on dirty down there, and the rules changes were probably about the most egregious thing they did down there, because of the future of the party was at stake with those rule changes. The one rule change they made was that the rules can now be changed at other meetings, besides the usual presidential, you know, convention. And that means that you won't have the same diverse group of delegates available to vote on these rules. You're just going to have people that are in people's pockets. And
mm-hmm.
and of course, then the other very devastating thing was that no state is going to be allowed to send a delegate that doesn't support the, you know, the supposed nominee, the crown
right.
nominee. And so you're basically going to have a mock convention. It's not
mm-hmm.
going to have any business that's real business. They're just there to tout whatever person that, you know, they're going to put up for nomination. And
yeah, that's
also no longer be a brokered convention. There won't be any such a thing.
Well, and also I would think that it would also really disenfranchise the Republican electorate, because, you know, it pretty much would make the primaries a moot point.
Exactly. That's the point. So, I have a low battery. Anyway, but you said it. I mean, it's what they want. They want to shut up the conservative values. They want to shut up, you know, our voice as much as they can. You know, we're always going to have yelling and screaming. People are going to yell, but whether we have any power after we yell or during the yelling, that remains to be seen.
Right. Well, one of the things that they've always thought that, you know, the conservatives and the Republican Party would, you know, do the yelling and screaming, but then they always thought that they would come back into the fold. But I don't think that's happening as much as they would have anticipated, or that they have anticipated.
Absolutely, and they're absolutely flabbergasted that it didn't work this time. And I think what they underestimated was our new social networking that the Republican Party has gotten into. It used to be just the Democrats were into the social stuff, you know, they had all the young people involved. But now we've got Ron Paulers in there that are young. We've got a bunch of us old fogies that are out there on Facebook now. And just a lot of people involved on Facebook and all different other, you know, Twitter and whatever, you know, blog talk shows and blogs everywhere, political blogs. And conservatism in the grassroots is up and coming. It's on the rise. And they're like, okay, how are we going to shut these people up? Because we can't,
right.
we can't fulfill our agenda unless we shut them up. And so those rules changes were designed just to do that.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I've got a lot, another audio clip play here. It talks about some of the back, it's in, you know, Romney rule change and some of the backlash at the RNC. We'll play a part of it.
So introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Julie McCarty. I am a delegate from the state of Texas to the National GOP Convention, and I'm the president of Northeast Tarrant Tea Party in Tarrant County, Texas.
Okay, and there were two rule changes that the Romney camp was trying to put through here at the RNC, right?
Correct.
So the first one was about electing delegates. Can you talk about that a little bit? Or
yes. Rule number 15 made it so that the states could no longer elect their own delegates to the convention. Those delegates would all be chosen by whoever the assumed nominee would be.
Okay, and that was voted down, right?
Yes, the grassroots rallied. We protested, we argued, we fought, and they backed down.
And the second rule is about rules changes, right?
Right.
And what happened with that one? What was that about?
In rule number 12, they gave the authority to the RNC to change any rule they want in between convention sessions, as long as they have 3/4 of a vote.
Now, as a grassroots person, as a Tea Party person, how did you feel about those rules changes, and what was the general consensus among the Texas delegation?
Well, we're furious. We had a meeting with all the Texas delegates the other day, and when Steve Musumeri, our state chairman, brought it up, I mean, he got a standing ovation. Everybody is furious about it because it's deliberately designed to squish the grassroots network.
Now, you in the primary, you weren't a Romney supporter. You were a Santorum supporter, right?
Correct.
And had you come to sort of accept that, you know, Romney is the nominee and everything?
Are you there? Did I lose you?
Yes. No, I'm here. I was turned off because I see someone come in from 207. And if they're still out there listening, they can go ahead and call back in and push 1 on your number dial. I don't know if they got disconnected or on their end or what have you, but if you're still out there listening, you're more than welcome to call back in and chime in or just to listen. And so, as you see, you know, we're talking about the Texas delegates and how they were, you know, outraged about the rule change. The clip went on for another minute, but as I said, I wanted to have the opportunity for the person to come in because we are possibly expecting someone to call in this evening. There's a possibility, and I wanted to make sure we didn't miss that if that does come. But what I'll do is just to reiterate for some folks, it's only got a minute in it. But if we do get some more calls, I'll just end the clip and we'll go from there. And so I do have the 207 with the mic on. So 207, thank you for calling in. How may I help you?
Hey, it's Brian Doherty. I thought I'd call in to give you a little update here from North Carolina.
Well, great. Thank you very much for calling in, Brian.
Yeah, well, we pulled in, Mark and I, early this morning, and Mark is currently over at a cocktail dinner, hopefully talking to as many RNC members as possible. So I bet you guys are definitely talking about the rules, and I just zoomed in here. One of the things I'd like to bring up is we did pass a resolution in Maine, if people are familiar, and there was also resolutions passed in at least 6-7 other states now. And we did submit not only the Maine resolution into the RNC resolution committee, but we also submitted another resolution to them with the same wording, sponsored by Mark. There's a good chance that they may hear it tomorrow at 3:00. There's also a good chance that they could table it. There is another avenue that I guess Morton Blackwell and some other grassroots supporters are advocating, which is really just to see where the support is of the RNC members by having a motion to basically you know, see where they feel on that and whether it's something that they could tackle at the next meeting. I have my own thoughts on that. The problem that I have with the motion, that the way that it's worded now, is he basically uses Rule 12 to remove, you know, 1 through 25, and it doesn't really address Rule 40, which, you know, basically really puts a knife in any type of grassroots presidential campaign, being that you would need 8, instead of 5 plurality of states, you would now need 8 majority. And the other thing, too, is just the argument that if you're using Rule 12, then you're saying that those were legally adopted rules. And for me, I think that we'd water down the premise of exactly what happened in Tampa to where these were illegally adopted rules. I think there's no question about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's incredible what they've tried to, not just tried, but succeeded in getting away with for the most part. And definitely, there's going to be some backlash, you know, at least in the grassroots. I believe part and parcel for Romney's loss this past election was because you had a lot of folks, such as the Ron Paul folks in the Republican Party, just said, you know what, after what was done at the convention, we're just going to sit this one out.
Well, I think the underlying tone here is, you know, these RNC members are elected representatives. And many of the, you know, not just Ron Paul people, but Tea Party people and liberty-minded individuals that went to your state conventions and caucuses and really came out for these people, you know, for them to, a lot of the attitude that I'm getting back is that they know better than, you know, say you or I or anyone else about, you know, the business of the party. You know, and for a quick example, in North Carolina here, the chairman, his name is Chairman Hayes, he thinks that the grassroots of the Republican Party are Democratic operatives, and that, you know, he doesn't feel that they should be, that they're not asking to be represented in an appropriate manner. You know, and this is the same kind of tone that, you know, it's playing out in state and state and state. We've been at this trying to make sure that we get this third state for, you know, a good 3 weeks now. And, you know, we're just facing new obstacles as they come, which, you know, I won't really go into some of the finer details, but it is troubling to see that instead of, you know, taking this as a lifeline, they would much rather, you know, stagnate and not allow any alternative direction to be heard for our party. And if you know, for those that do watch sports and you do watch these football teams and they go 0-16 or 2-14, and, you know, what happens? They get fired. In this case, we lost Senate seats, we lost House seats, we lost to the most tyrannical, socialist president ever in the history of the United States. And for it to accumulate all these losses, for us as a party not to be looking at, you know, what's coming around in the future, this meeting this week sets the tone not only for the 435 House seats that are up for grabs in 2014 and 35, you know, governor seats, but also 2016 as well. And if we cannot have these rules addressed, you know, I fear that, you know, from, you know, the outcry of, you know, having them listen to us, not just in Tampa, but again here and now almost at every other venue, whether it's a county or state committee meeting, you know, they're not listening, you know, and we really just have to remind them that they are represented individuals to represent the body of that state party. And if there were resolutions passed in those states, that they should try to fight for that and support those measures, because it's not that they know best. It's that they're supposed to be a liaison from the state party to the national committee.
And what do you see if the party leadership, where it's at now, or, you know, they don't adopt or go back to, you know, the grassroots? Where do you see the future of the party if they, you know, they don't go back and not, you know what I mean?
Well,
I mean, Good.
We've been hemorrhaging, you know, as a party, we've been hemorrhaging membership left and right, you know, and really what it looks like is, you know, for many, the Republican Party is a vehicle. You know, they absolutely adhere to the principles of the party, but they fear that the leadership and those in those positions, unfortunately, they no longer do. And so there is, you know, there is a division there. I think more and more people, the more and more they talk about it, the more and more they, you know, they address this situation. I know it's, you know, a lot of Republicans would much rather talk about something else than other Republicans, but, you know, it's very difficult to talk principles with, you know, other people. So I think that as far as the future for the Republican Party, you know, it's looking dismal. I mean, I know in my own home state, we just lost a state committee member in my county who, you know, I don't think 40 people could do the work that she did over the last couple of years. And it's just unfortunate, you know, and I see that in my own, you know, on my own county and state level, and I'm sure people see that in their own county and state and municipal committees. And, you know, I don't have the answer for that. You know, that's something that I hope that I, you know, can walk away from this meeting hoping that there is some progression towards following the rules and returning our party to the principles it was founded upon.
Yeah, definitely. And then we've got Cindy Todd here, and she's from the Republican Club of West Volusia in Florida, and she's been talking to some of the people of her club about a resolution. I don't know if you were able to hear that part of the show, but Cindy, Cindy, if there's anything you'd like to talk to Brian about or ask him or what have you, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Brian.
Hi.
I appreciate you coming on. That's great. We love to hear from you. It's good to have a voice down up there. I'm wondering what you hear. I mean, there were states who were very angry. Besides Maine and Nevada, you had Texas who lost a lot of delegates. You had, and, you know, they were incensed about the rule changes. And you had Floridians who lost their rules committee seats and delegate seats. It seems like these people would want to have another option. Have you heard anything about how they're thinking?
Well, I don't know if they want another option. You know, I mean, in all earnest, I really don't know if they want another option. To me, from my viewpoint as just, you know, an active party member, I look at it and I see, you know, a consolidation of power more so. And obviously that is just emanating from the top down. And I think that for them, they see it as a means to be competitive. So they're trying to change, you know, the structure of our party to be competitive based upon what some political consultants are telling them. And, you know, for me and for you and for probably many others that do the door knocking and the phone calls and the lip drops and driving candidates and, you know, all of that, you know, we see it as, no, you have to reach out into the community and propagate these ideas and educate these voters on, you know, these issues rather than the rhetoric that that's all we hear for, you know, the year leading up to any election. So, I really don't think that they're being, you know, I don't think that they're coming to the table with, you know, two plates. I think that, you know, they'll throw whatever scraps they can on the floor, and they'd just as much rather watch you pick them up.
So you really think that, you know, I think it's planned, though. I don't think they're stupid enough to think that they can keep kicking the grassroots in the butt over and over again and saying, we don't want to hear from you. You just come to the polls and you vote and then you shut up.
I said that's really the attitude that they have. My former state party chair, you know, he basically told me in not so many words that, listen, when the kids get sand in their eyes in the sandbox, it doesn't make them not come back out and play in the sand tomorrow. And so, you know, that's the attitude they have. They expect you, you know, they're going to kick the sand in your eyes, and they'll give you a couple good chuckles in today, but they know that you're so, upset or, involved in this that, and you've got a vested interest that you'll be back tomorrow, one way or another. And, for most of them, it's, it's trickery. They'll tell you they believe in one thing, and obviously they do another. I mean, we've went over the fiscal cliff. We're raising the debt ceiling. I mean, you tell me. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's one Republican worth of salt that is currently out there. I just look at a lot of the stuff that's out there today. Even Rand Paul today basically said that he supports Rince Priebus's election. I mean, at what point when you get people like AJ Spiker and these chairs for Iowa and committeemen and committeewoman, and you get some of these liberty-minded states, and then they turn around and they absolutely turn towards tyranny. I mean, I just for me, the idea that Rince Priebus is running unchallenged is, it sickens me that nobody is willing enough to really, and let's be real, the chances of, Mark actually winning are slim and none, and I hope that they at least accept an alternative, but, from my viewpoint, it looks like they'd rather not hear anything Mark has to say, good, bad, or indifferent. And I'm pretty sure that that's the type of tone that they, they take with party members in their own states.
Well, I think what they're going to find out is that you can push the grassroots too far, and I think you're going to see a mass exodus, and I'd like to see them try to win against the Democrats in that case. I really do believe, though, that the attitude that you just described is permeating the leadership in each state, and especially at the lower level. But I think at the highest levels, in the Rince Priebus class, those people know exactly what they're doing, and I think they're doing it on purpose because they are progressive infiltrators, and they plan to decimate the Republican Party so that there is no opposition for the Socialist Democrat Party, and that's the whole plan behind it. Now, I'm not saying that every Republican loyalist, they're not every one of them who's going expecting Rince Priebus to get reelected and everything. They may not all be on that agenda. Okay, you're right about most of them. They're probably just, power hungry. They like their spot, and they're like, well, we can do what we want to do. And if you get your sand kicked in your eyes, you're just going to have to live with it. Come back and play. Forgive and forget. But I really do believe there's an upper echelon who has this all under control.
Well, there's definitely, there's definitely powers that be, getting into, jumping into this as much as I have. I am very naive. I'll be the first one to admit that. But at the same token, it's sickening the way that they have surround our party and basically, looking at these RNC members who wouldn't even advocate for, ballot access. At what point in, the Republican Party are we to just say that, we're for unchallenged leaders? You know what I mean?
In what part of Republican democracy is that kind of behavior acceptable?
When you break it down, it's just, it stands in stark contrast to everything that we're supposed to be, espousing. And, I don't know what the answer is. As far, I have ideas, but, as far as the answers of how people go about it, I think the most important thing is that, you don't stop. Obviously, there are some that, just basically tune out until every 4 years and then think that that's going to make a difference. The biggest thing is right there in your own locality, your home base there, is you want to, You want to make sure that that's strong. And then once that's strong, then go to your state. Make sure your state's strong. And then you can work up. But to work for us to work top down, thinking that, you know, electing a president is going to change everything, is just completely absurd. You know, that's what they want us to believe. That's not where all the real business is occurring. The real business is occurring at the county, at the local and state level. You know, and obviously with there are avenues, if we do have strong, liberty-minded, you know, people in office, whether they have an R or a D or whatever behind their name, you know, we can try to pass, you know, things like nullification, and there are avenues there. But, I mean, as far as where we are now, you know, most of these people aren't coming to money. You know, you look at the support that's come out for Rents, you know, most of it is just basically because he's dug us out of a $24 million hole. Well, that's great. You know, that's more of an accolade for a treasurer, in my respect, before a chairman.
Look where the money came from, though. It came from the very banks that we bailed out.
Yeah. Well, and look where it goes. It goes to those political consultants. And, you know, people have their own views on the Ron Paul campaign, but, you know, from my perspective, I would have to say that a lot of those political consultants have no problem selling you out, because they have to realize that, you know, their next campaign wasn't going to be Ron Paul, you know. And, you know, you look, you know, there's definitely individuals out there that, you know, their actions speak louder than the words. So.
And that happened. That happened a lot with Newt Gingrich and his campaign as well. We had a lot of folks supposedly helping him out in his campaign that definitely weren't there for his, but you know, his or even what he stood for, his best interest. But while I'm on here, I have a question, if I may, Brian, from Harriet from the chat, and she asks if you could tell us about how Michigan looks like. She says that one committee woman is going to vote for Mark, and then another committee man is going to vote for Priebus. So does that how does that make Michigan look?
Well, I know Mark has been reaching out on a personal basis to a lot of these RNC members. We have spoken with Michigan, and we, you know, there's a huge amount of support out there in Michigan. I tell you what, if the voices were heard at the very top, there would be no question that those RNC members would be totally on board for Mark. You know, to give credit where credit is due, Dave Ajima there, he was very supportive of Mark at first, and then unfortunately it seemed that he received a call from Rents, and you know, it went downhill from there. As far as
the pressure was brought
to
bear, I'm sure.
Yeah, and so you know, what are you going to say? I don't know. The people of Michigan should, you know, at least reach out to him and see where he stands. I did notice on his, you know, Facebook today, he was saying the same basic lies that Rents had told him, that Mark had told him, you know, called and. Actually, Mark had called both of them and spoke to them personally about, you know, what they were saying and that they were unfounded. And then sure enough, you know, they still continue to do that. But, you know, it's already been, you know, it's already been put out there, unfortunately. You know, and when you slander somebody's name like that, it's just troubling, because that's the same reason why we lost to the Democrats, you know. And then as far as Terry, she's been very supportive of allowing for ballot access for Mark. She thinks that that's an important thing, because it's just, you know, the principle of our party. So, and of just our way of life. So, but I will say that, you know, they have come out in, so both of them, or all three of them, have come out in support of Rents, and have said that they will be supporting Rents. And that was the last thing I knew. So, unless something has changed from now since when they issued that email out, you know, I would have to say that support is not there,
but at least for the
nomination.
And speaking of the nomination, I've got a list here. It says of the states of the RNC members that have pled their support or confirming nomination of one person or the other, at stepdownnow.com on the state/supporting/Priebus. As of the 16th at least, these are the states, at least of the 16th, that appears to have not, you know, pledged their support to anyone. So perhaps these could be some good states besides Michigan to try to concentrate on. And that's Alabama, Alaska, Arizona. There's a lot of states here. Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, as we mentioned earlier, Cindy. And then there's Georgia, Idaho, Illinois, Kansas, Maryland, Massachusetts. And the list goes on, folks. So to find your state to see if they have not, as of yet, pledged their support for either one of the candidates for the RNC chair, go to stepdown.com, stepdownnow, and that's stepdownnow.com. And then you can go to /states-supporting-Priebus, and then /. And that will give you the list, at least as it's been updated on the 16th. Didn't mean to interrupt. Folks, go ahead, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And thanks for putting that out there, because it really does help. All the phone calls and all the emails and all the comments on all the articles, that stuff does make a difference. It really does. I can tell you from standing where I am right now, it makes a huge difference. And I would say continue to keep that up and do it in a, you know, a respectful manner. The other thing I would advocate for is not so much, you know, even if they're not willing to, you know, all three of them or two from one state nominate Mark, you know, or support Mark in that measure, then they should at least identify with the fact that he should have the ballot access. You know what I mean? And just the idea of offering an alternative plan, I just think that that is crucial. And I think that that would be the biggest thing that I would reiterate to my RNC members, you know, my state's RNC members, is, you know, just allow all due process to occur. And, it'd be shameful if we go through this week and the 25th comes and passes and this Republican Party has failed to really grasp any type of significant change, and they continue to, you know, address it in a top-down measure. And, you know, if Rince goes unopposed, I do see what, I believe it was Cindy was saying with the, you know, a mass exodus there. I mean, I see it, like I said, I see it in my own home state and county, so.
And also for the, I'll chime in here and then Cindy, I'll leave the floor to you, is that if the grassroots, and it's going to take the grassroots to get involved and to call those folks that Brian was just talking about, because if the grassroots start to pull back, you know, now and not get involved, then we're just going to allow these, you know, these folks, these elites, to take over and totally just control the system. And then, indeed, we really will be powerless. Now, we definitely have the power. We just need to exercise it. And that's why we're going to need a lot of folks out there. I mean, the Tea Party in 2010 comes to mind when I talk about that. I think they were, you know, a driving force. Now, in 2012, you know, there was definitely some disappointments with some of what the so-called Tea Party folks that got elected. They were disappointing in some measure. But still, it's very important to, you know, especially with the media attention, things of that nature, that the Tea Party was garnering in 2010, and we also need to stay involved. If we don't, we will indeed or stop coming to the sandbox, so to speak. But not coming to the sandbox to just get sand kicked in our eye again, to actually fight back, and that's what we're going to need to do. And part of that is to, you know, make these calls. And the way we fight is not through, you know, fists or kicking sand. Our fight is to make sure that we are heard and that we are paid attention to. And with that, Cindy, I'll leave it to you. Thank you.
Well, I'm here. No, I didn't mute myself. I'm here, aren't I?
There you go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I didn't think I had muted myself. Okay. Well, I just thought that since we have Brian on the line, first of all, Brian, do you think that we're going to be able to hear from Mark tonight, or is he busy tonight?
I'm actually trying to get a hold of him. I was trying to get a hold of him before the show started there, but I know he was over there at meeting as many RNC members as he could tonight that came in. And I think that's probably the most productive thing with his time.
Yeah,
but if he's able to hear, I will definitely have somebody shoot him a note and see if he would be able to come on here. So I'm not sure where he is right now. I'm actually in a different hotel than him. So,
do you guys have any lists of the people who are going to be voting there from the different states?
As far as RNC members?
Yes.
Well, most of the dealings there have really, been Mark reaching out to them personally. He has a working relationship with a bunch of them, and then those that are already supporting him, like Jane Smack and Diane Orrick from Nevada, who are ardent supporters of Mark. I mean, and all the work that Jay Lake and Cindy Lake have done out there and everybody else. I mean, that is I can't wait to go out and visit Nevada next. But, I there are some people out there really pushing. And, there's a lot of other people as well. I don't really want to give too many names and stuff out there because of and same thing with the states. I know Rince obviously knows which states he has support of, but he doesn't really need to know which states that we're dealing with firsthand. At this point. So I really wouldn't want to speak to that. But, it really doesn't even matter because as long as you're reaching out to your, whatever RNC member, you need to double down and reach out to them because even if, if we're successful and we're able to get that third state or we're able to get ballot access for Mark, you still want those people to understand that this is a concern of yours, and you have to voice that to them and let them decide what they're going to do, obviously. But and if they don't, if they don't respond in the way that you like, then I would say, where it counts most is at the ballot box. And I know a lot of these people aren't, per se, running in general elections. So that's why you need to become familiar with Robert's rules, familiar with your bylaws, your state bylaws, familiar with the GOP bylaws. You have to invest in yourself to really try to promote the change and facilitate the change that you want to see. So that would be my biggest advice was, just double down,
Yeah. Well, you're right because, most of us, like I only got involved politically other than, now in the past I've held signs on the road for people, I've made phone calls for people. But I never bothered to find out what's behind all of it. This year is the first time I have ever had my eyes open. And boy, are they open. And I just want to try to get more people's eyes open. That's why I invited a lot of my friends on Facebook that I know don't usually have very much to do with politics. Whether they listen or not, I don't know whether they will. But there's things they need to know. And we can't even bring half of it out on this show tonight, or three shows can't bring half of it out. But what I'd like to do is kind of go through, Mark gave an 8-point plan to turn things around for the GOP. And I'd like to go through the list with you and see if you can give us an idea of what he's planning to do specifically on each of these issues.
Well, hold on, folks. It looks like we have another caller who'd like to chime in. So I'm going to open up the mic, and then we'll continue on with you. Cindy, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I do like to bring folks in when I see they open up the mic. So 703, your mic is live. Thank you very much for calling in.
Hey, Robert, it's Rex. Hi, Cindy. Hi, Brian.
Great. Thank you, Rex.
I don't want to interrupt Cindy. Let her do her thing.
No, that's okay. I just was hoping that you would be able to shed some light on, maybe some of the specifics about these issues. First of all, do you think you know pretty much what Mark's plans are? Have you been with him discussing?
Yep. I mean, we've discussed it extensively there. And, you know, I think it really it's definitely resonating with RNC members. I think that all of them appreciate that there's a plan. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think that's the key, that there is a plan. And as far as his plan, he does have an 8-point plan. The first point is really the adherence to the 2009 resolution in support of good governance. And, you know, that was something, you know, Rince Priebus, when he was general counsel under Michael Steele, that he really pushed for Michael Steele to follow, and Michael Steele did. And then when Rince, you know, took hold there, he hasn't followed that. And, you know, that just goes to accountability. And, you know, you've got people that donate money to our party, whether it's $5 or $10. And, you know, that $5 or $10 may be $10,000 or $20,000 to some of those bigger donors. You know, that might, you know, that might be their loaf of bread for the week, but they donate, you know. And so when you have people that are not being accountable for how they're spending this money, and they're basically, you know, it's the same thing as a national government, just paying out their buddies pay to play and stuff, then we have serious problems there. Contract.
These are corporatist companies. These are corporatist companies that have got so much power within our party, and we're being controlled by them, and nobody understands that.
Yeah. Well, Mark's second point would be to repeal the RNC rules in Tampa. I think, you know, we've definitely discussed that tonight. That it's just obviously has to go in complete measure, so it was illegally adopted. You know, I personally, and I know Mark would like to see, you know, all of that return back to at least the 2010 amended rules, which would be the 2008 rules. So I think we've covered that pretty good. The third point is to reestablish a relationship with just active party members by encouraging a decentralized approach. So that what that means is, instead of the RNC dictating what states do, one way or another, whether it's which candidates they run, you know, or just messing within the internal politics of that state, it's more of a hands-off approach and allowing the states to have some identity and autonomy that represents their culture and their people, and, you know, to elect the people that they want to elect, and rather than that top-down structure. So, I mean, that really is important when you know, it's interesting because you get this thing, I believe it's out in Wisconsin, where they're looking at gerrymandering some of the, you know, electoral votes and stuff. And, you know, that's a logistical thing, and there's an argument for that. But I think that the resources that we're spending, you know, through the RNC could be better well spent by, you know, giving that money back to the states and allowing those states to even fight some of this midnight, you know, gun legislative stuff. So, I mean, it's really we're pulling the money out of the states where we should be pushing that money into the states, you know. So,
well, I think, you know, what we need to do, our chairman all across this country, our committeemen, our committee women in each state have got to be convinced that this dogmatic party loyalty is killing us. They've got to open their eyes and see what's happening to the people below them. And it's like they're blind, and they think, well, my job's secure as long as I kiss butts. But people are going to have to start thinking for themselves.
Yeah.
So how do we return the power structure from the top down to the bottom-up leadership?
You have to hold them accountable. I mean, that's the key. And to hold them accountable, it can't just be you or me. It's got to be, you know, your husband, my wife, my brother-in-law, his wife. It's really got to be a community outreach, you know. And, you know, my thing is politics is probably best spent just right there at home within your own, you know, 10 blocks. If you can reach out to those people out there, you know, it's not, it doesn't have to come down to a R or a D issue. So I think that's the key, is just reaching out to those people that are right there in your own community and getting them active. There's so many apathetic people that, like I said earlier, you know, after a presidential election, they go back to sleep. And that's the most important time. You know, it's really the most important time to get involved. So it's really just holding them accountable and not letting them forget that you remember. The reason why I'm right here now is because exactly what they did to me when I was a national delegate on that floor, you know, and,
yeah.
and it's not so much out of spite, but out of love for my party that, I, you know, that was the most atrocious thing I've ever, you know, well, I won't say ever, but, you know, one of the most disgusting things that I've ever witnessed in my life. You know, it really stomped my heart out. And to see, you know, in our own delegation, 7 out of 10 veterans that were not even seated, you know, for whatever, for some frivolous issue out of, you know, some state in Maine with 20 or so delegates that, you know, it's not even going to make a difference on the presidential election per se. You know, just to go out that far and to stomp out any, you know, any dissension is beyond, you know, it's beyond anything. Yeah, it really is. So, and then, well, to get back there,
we're on number four, about the technology knowledge.
Yeah, Mark has an interesting background for many people that have not yet sort of invested in learning more about Mark. I mean, outside of, you know, in the intelligence agency, he also has a very strong background in IT. And if you remember, you know, the Oracle software and all the rest of that for Election Day, the Romney team hadn't even tested, and the RNC had not even tested that type of software until that Election Day, and it failed.
Excuse me, sir. I do have another number calling in with the same area code that you're calling in from, so I am going to, at this time, open up the mic. The other 207, your mic is live. Welcome to the show. Yes, I just opened up 207's mic. Anyone?
Are you from Charlotte?
Okay. Open up another 207, and the person, they said they'd like to chime in. Perhaps they had to be on mute there for a minute, but 207, your mic is live, so if you'd like to chime in, go ahead.
I'll just leave them on for a while, Robert.
Yeah, I'll leave them on, and hopefully they can chime in.
Maybe turn the side.
Sure. Go ahead, Brian. You can go on, and then the other 207, if you'd like to chime in, if perhaps they had to turn us on mute for a while. And if that has just dropped, perhaps they will call back. So go ahead, Brian. But if I interrupt again, I apologize.
Oh,
and that would just be to bring the caller
totally
back in.
Understand.
Go ahead.
And many callers you can get, really, because the better, you know, the more that we can answer these questions, the more that, you know, that value of information can pass along. So, to go back to the Mark's background, his strong, presence with, or has a strong ability with, not a strong ability. He has a strong background in IT, so that would definitely go. Yes.
I apologize, but they're back on. Let's try this. 207, your mic is live.
Thank you very much. My Skype wasn't working, so I had to call you on a landline.
No, okay. Real quick, go ahead, state your name, and then we'll bring it back to Brian, okay?
Uh-huh. My name is Michelle, and I really called to chime in here. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good. Sure. How are you doing, Michelle?
Okay. I've talked to a lot of people who in a lot of states that are calling their committee men and committee women.
Yeah.
And the feedback that I'm getting from the people who are calling them, it seems that they're more afraid. I mean, because Mark's a long shot, nobody really wants to stand up and say, no, we're not supporting you, because the rest of their career they're going to be stuck with rent.
This is what tyranny does to people. It shuts them up. I was in China for a couple weeks, and I saw this with people. They had to be careful everything they said, because their neighbor next door could be a tattletale. I think the government has actually trained people how to tell on their neighbors, how to spy on their neighbors. And this is kind of what's coming to America. You can't do anything on the internet. You can't do anything on Facebook. People think you're going to, you know, be heard by someone.
I suggest that everybody reread 1984 now, all these years later.
That's a good
I just wanted to share that information, that really seems to be the problem. I've talked to people, and I've talked to people who talk to their committee people, you know, who sound supportive and sound like secret ballot would be fine, but nobody really wants to stand up and try to stand up under the pressure.
That's how tyrants keep their power. And until people decide to stand up and be counted and open their mouths, then we are going to keep getting shoved down and stepped on by tyrants. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. And I guess that if I was going to address that, Michelle, I mean, it's unfortunate. To me, it just seems like it's leadership by acquiescence, and it's not leadership by any true value outside of, you know, scaring people into doing what you want them to do. And whether you're, you know, flying state to state offering, you know, state or a party funds to that state or, you know, all that stuff is just, it's disgusting. That's exactly why I got involved personally, to see most of that eradicated. Obviously, you can't eradicate it all, and I'm sure it's been going on since long before me. But, you know, we can just continue to fight and at least have some true representation of our voices here, rather than, you know, just being told how we're supposed to think, feel, you know, act. You know, that's really it. We need to elect principled leaders, and we have to, you know, make sure that these are principled leaders that we're electing, and not just somebody that says, you know, what we want to hear. You know, it's if one person stands up and they're willing to fight, you know, we definitely have to show our love and support for that person, because there's not many of them anymore. And, you know, there's a lot of politicians and very few statesmen.
Yep, you're right. So he's been in technology for a while then, hasn't he?
Oh yeah, and you know, he currently works in the field now, and you know, he would be a great one to, you know, test these systems. I mean, maybe not personally, but to oversee the testing of these systems and make sure that they're up to snuff. And even more so, you know, as a web developer, I look at the party, and I'm, you know, when you look at the Democrats and what they do, we're so far behind them, you know, technology-wise, and a lot of this technology is free, you know. So, you know, for us to, as a party, if we want to be competitive and successful, we have to invest in the structure of what it is that we're trying of our platform. You know, whether it's you know, using more websites, using, you know, email campaigns, you know, all that stuff. We have to put it on the table and really take a look at it. I think there's a lot of things that were done in the past that are, you know, still definitely, you have to go door to door and you have to reach out to these people. But there's technology that you can use with iPhone apps, with, you know, iPads that, you know, will help facilitate that change, or help, you know, make sure that you do the best job that you can do during that real tight election season. And, you know, these are things that we should be examining and, you know, educating our representatives about, or and our candidates about, and teaching them how to engage the public. And, you know, but we're not doing that, you know, and we're not even close to doing that.
And with
Priebus
reelected, that'll never happen, because they won't use any of these new methods, because they're not interested in trying new things. They're not interested in coming up to speed. And I think one of the biggest problems, and I think this is true for as much for the leadership, the candidates, and us, okay, and I'm going to give you a quote by Newt Gingrich, and he laid it out, and Newt is extremely astute at pointing out problems, especially in strategies, and then he comes up with solutions. He said, I think one of the great problems we have in the Republican Party is that we don't encourage you to be nasty. We encourage you to be neat, obedient, loyal, and faithful, and all those Boy Scout words, which would be a great around a campfire, but are lousy in politics. And here's the problem. You know, all the grassroots that have been bitching and whining about what happened to Ron Paul and what happened to Newt Gingrich and how did we end up with Mitt Romney and all this. Okay, you know, posting each other on Facebook, that's nice, but that doesn't do anything and it doesn't change anything. And frankly, if you're not pissed off about the fact that we are where we are and that none of these 168, I mean, other than the ones from Nevada and Maine, committee members has the balls to stand up and do the right thing, because I guarantee you that there's more than 90 votes there for Mark Willis, but not one of them, other than the two from Nevada and the two from Maine, has the guts to stand up and put it on the line in case there's going to be blowback from Priebus. Well, if you're going to act like pussies, you're going to get what pussies deserve,
which is
you're going to keep losing.
Whoa, Rex, I know you're getting emotional there, passionate there, but, yeah.
Might I point out that Mr. Gingrich, for all of his bluster, has come up and said that he is going to be endorsing Rince Priebus.
Well, he's
so
not voting.
He's not voting.
He's not voting.
And nothing else. He's a loyalist.
Okay,
yeah,
what he's doing is he's keeping access so that he can at least mold and change the strategies of the party. But his opinion is irrelevant on this. He's not one of the committee men voting.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, when I was reading off your list to our club members last week, when I mentioned this need for better technology and how Mark had this ability, you know, they were completely silent on all these other points. But on this point, everybody in the room started kind of whispering, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. And they actually had stuff to say about this particular one. I think this is a no-brainer.
I apologize, but we do have another person who'd like to chime in. I do keep the mics open just for, you know, the conversation can go freely, you know, of course, without stepping on, you know, anyone other's mics, so to speak. But I will be opening up 360. Your mic is live. I believe this is this Chris?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling in, Chris.
Yes.
How are you tonight?
I can't say the word. Starts with a P. Second
oh,
episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, pissed off is okay,
second,
but, you know, some
the,
other
okay.
things. But
pissed off. I'm sorry, but, you know, Rex and I have a similar temperament. We're on chat here going back and forth, and I was like, finally. You know, what is this nice stuff? I'm sorry, but how much crime have we seen through this whole primary? And you guys, we've all been on the radio shows together. We know each other. We've tracked it. We fought it. The RNC, we exposed it. They did nothing. They didn't care. They figured you were so scared of Obama, they could have frickin' ran Bigfoot and people would have rolled over. And, you know, 59 million plus of them did. Here's the thing.
We did run Bigfoot.
Yeah. What I have seen in this process is they don't give a crap what you think, and I don't understand why we're supposed to be nice about it. People are falling out of this party in droves. They're running off into Independentville, Libertarian Party, Constitution Party. You know, people are mad. Boehner, I mean, that was amazing. I couldn't believe how gutless those Republicans were. A handful of them had some gonads and actually voted for somebody else or abstained. But, you know, a bunch of them I heard later, you know, there was a dozen of them were just kind of waiting for somebody else to grow a pair, and they might have voted against Boehner. We almost got Boehner out. We were just a couple of votes short of stalling that vote and making a change. Here we are again, you know, and it's amazing to me how people don't understand how much power they have. When you make that phone call, you go, look, here's what's going to happen. If you vote for that creep, that crook who backed this crook, who allowed the Republican process to be burned to the ground on the floor of the RNC convention, I guarantee you that I'm going to take 5,000 Republicans with me out of this party. Now, you need to step up and get this guy Mark in there and make some things happen, or you're going to lose your party. So who gives a shit if you and Priebus are sitting there together, if Priebus wins, if you ain't got a party around you? People have got to learn how to fight. And that's the hardest thing to teach people how to do, because what Rex said, and then immediately everybody attacks Newt. Newt is brilliant with strategy. He's done it before. He understands what he's doing. He ran the GOP success in 1994. People can beat up Newt all they want. all day long, but he did it once, and he knows how to do it. And Robert and I went to his whole document. Took 3 flipping days. That guy's got more strategy in his little finger than most people have in their whole life. He understands you've got to learn how to speak with authority. You are the power. And it's just amazing to me how many people are tiptoeing around going, well, yeah, I'm trying. I called and said, can you back Willis? And no, I can't because I'm going to back Priebus because he got us out of debt. Well, you got to learn how to talk. He didn't get us out of debt. $1 billion flowed into the election system. We were trying to get rid of Obama. That's why we're out of debt. That was nothing Priebus did. It was the nature of the election. Do not back this guy. He is a criminal. And you will lose me and a whole bunch of my family and a whole bunch of other people if you back him.
Yeah, they've lost me too.
This is what people need to learn, how to speak with authority. And Newt is so right. We have become a party of, okay, I'll fall in line now. That's not a conservative, not in my heart, not the way I was raised. Maybe I was raised by crazy people. I don't know.
I think it's important to have a lot of different tempers or a lot of different responses. So I was just down at the Mecklenburg County Young Republicans meeting, right? And, you know, just as a guest, and I'm just watching, and it's interesting. And, you know, you have, are you going to not support any, you know, gun legislation? And that was the question. You know, or is it, there's no chance that you're going to support any, you know, gun legislation at all, right? There's not a chance that you're, you know, going to support that. No, it's the tempered responses. You're supposed to it's good that they get all of them. So those ones that have that strong, you know, put their bass in the voice and, you know, tell them, hey, this is exactly how it's going down and this is what I'm about to do. You know, they're just, you know, they're strong voices, and even those little ones that, you know, they may not pick up the phone and call people every day. So, you know, they might not get upset as much as you or I or somebody else because they don't have that vested understanding of what it is that's really being swept under their feet. You know, from my perspective, from people talking about Rand Paul 2016 and this guy 2016 or whoever it is 2016, well, there is no 2016 without, you know, January 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, and then going on, and then the summer meeting, and then the fall meeting. We have to make sure that we get this party on track. Otherwise, the hemorrhaging membership is just going to go elsewhere, like he said. And, you know, without that,
most people are non-combative. They're non-combative, and so that brings us to his fifth point. Bringing in lost Republicans, independents, and conservative Dems, getting them into the party.
Is this Cindy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I just got, you know, I know there's multiple people on here, but let me ask you a question. Why in the hell would they join this party? We just lost our ass, and we were made fools out of. And people know. See, here's the problem. You know, even though the RNC and the Romney camp and the Priebuses and the people who back those creeps, okay, they don't think anybody noticed what went on through this primary. But we watched the best reporters on this, next to Ben Swan, was Rachel Maddow. She didn't miss a beat on the crime that went on through this primary. Mm-hmm. The whole world saw it. The only people who didn't see it were the idiots who vote, only walk up to the counter and vote their R. You know, never pay attention, and the people that sit in their executive clubs laughing at us, the little people, those are the only people who don't think anybody saw it. And the rest of the world saw what just happened in our primary. Am I right or wrong?
A lot more people saw it this time than before.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, we made sure people heard about it, didn't we, guys?
Not only that,
we did 2 and 3 radio shows a night on this stuff, posted the hell out of it. We wanted it exposed. And these people are acting like, sorry, man, I'm fired up. These people are acting like nothing happened, and they lost. Something happened. And here's the thing of it is these committee, 168 people, give me a break. Get them in a room. I'll scare the hell out of them. They're nothing. They're a bunch of politicians. You go down to Olympia, the Master Builder Association, I was telling my wife today, they're just like that group. I can't stand those people. They sit around and they got a title and they get their picture on the wall because they're chairman this year and it's really just a bunch of people sitting around patting themselves on the back saying, I am something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not the party. We're the party.
It's really a muffin club and you're not invited.
You know it is.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what these people are. I can't stand them. I'm sorry, but you know what I mean?
Well, you know,
and
that's the reason.
We need to scare the hell out of them. It's over.
The reason they've left the party is because they are so docile and so non-combative that rather than fight for their party and fight to keep what belongs to them, they'd rather just absolutely leave, just exit the political realm altogether. Some aren't even registered to vote anymore as far as they're concerned.
Brian, and then we'll go to back to Chris. Because it sounded like Brian was wanting to chime in on something. But one thing is, a lot of folks, you know, they saw other parties, perhaps other third parties that, you know, adhere to the conservative principle, to say, you know what, this year I'm going to be following, you know, and supporting and voting for those folks. You know, that happened as well. During this past election.
Yeah.
And then, Brian, if I'm telling you what to chime in on something,
I was just going to share with you one of the things that I'm looking for here. The committee member that I spoke about who just resigned from our state committee, I mean, she was, you know, I think it should be 10 of me, you know, the work that she does. And, you know, to see her resign from that position is really a big blow, not only to just everybody in my state, but to everybody across the U.S., because these are the people that we need to continue to keep active. And I'm totally in agreement of where she is at this decision, you know, but, you know, it's just, you know, you look at it from your county caucuses. I'm sure a lot of people experienced the same stuff there, to your own state convention, to where it was even crazier. And, you know, you look at all the crazy crap that happened across the U.S. with that. And then the national convention, that was it, you know. And as far as getting these people back, and you're right, they're not going to come to a Republican Party. Not when it's, you know, dictated by, you know, or the idea of it is a bunch of old guys with cigars and about a smoky room with some brandy glasses. You know what I mean? It's just never going to happen. But what we have to do is this, you know, us, this younger generation, and when I say young, I mean, you know, from the moment that you realize that, you know, these guys are off the script, you know, this generation, we have to consolidate our own power and basically advocate for other people to get involved and wake them up and rebrand it to what it is it's supposed to be. You know, we have this preamble of the Republican Party, but is that really apply? And it was interesting because I know that when they were going back over the Rules and Procedures Committee in Tampa, somebody had brought up that very well point. Well, maybe we should just strip out the preamble out of the rules because we're not even close to following it. So, you know, as far as getting these people back into the fold here, as far as an active Republican, I don't know what can be done back and forth. It's going to take a long time, but what you have to do is, the only way you can put the value into that is electing principled leaders, you know, however you have to. And then, that's what's going to dictate the future, is just electing principled leaders.
Go ahead, Tweety.
Hold on, Cindy. Yeah, Chris, and then go ahead, Cindy. And then there's someone else also on the line, but go ahead, Chris, because I said you would go ahead next. So,
okay, I'm calmed down now. I feel better. All right, Brian. Okay, we saw, you know, we come from, you know, supporting a different candidate, and then we got behind and worked, you know, worked to help Ron Paul at the convention and worked for a brokered convention.
you know, we busted our ass. Most of us, the four of us sitting here right here and other people in chat, some of these people I've known since, you know, before last January. You know, we have worked hard. And we saw what happened. And here's the thing of it is, and I truly believe this, the problem with the Tea Party, okay, 2010, the Tea Party came in and did an incredible thing, had an incredible success to the party, you know, fought back, won. The problem is they handed themselves over to the Republican Party. They handed themselves over to the RNC. And then the RNC got in there, worked around, and stuck all these, you know, these rhino leaders at these local levels and got prepared for Romney. And they were prepared for Ron Paul. Ron Paul and the Paul movement did incredible work, you know, won up to, I don't know, up to 14 states, I heard at one time. And then they gradually just ripped the guts out of it. And it is amazing to me that people, there's one of two things got to happen. They either got to get up and just leave by millions of people, just walk out and go join another party and support it, or they got to fight. But this half measure ain't going to get nothing done. You know that, because I know where you come from, that you know, and Mark Willis knows that. I heard Mark Willis get fired up down there in Tampa. You know what I mean? And we're kind of tiptoeing towards this meeting, and I'm like going, it ain't going to work. And if Priebus gets back in there, it ain't going to work unless people rise up and go, you know, and build. And I've often wondered why somebody in all these splintered groups, all the Ron Paul groups that I'm on, you know, and everybody just come together and build this massive list. You know, you want to sign a flipping petition? Don't send a petition to Obama so he knows where to come pick you up, because, you know, God, what a bunch of idiots. Anyway, millions of Republicans sign a petition going, here is 5 million human beings. You are going to lose every one of us if you don't get this creep out of here. And if you don't want our vote and you don't want our money, we'll go join the damn Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party, and you can kiss our rear ends, because you can't afford to lose 5 million voters. That's the kind of fight, the only thing these guys are going to understand, because there's something about, I don't know if it's a Christian thing or a conservative thing or a Republican thing, but they're so docile. You know, the Ron Paul movement fired me up because I saw people fight, and it was energized, and it made people uncomfortable. You know, excitement and motivation exposes apathy, and that's what this party's full of. Am I wrong or right?
Well, you're right.
I think I was too, Brian.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, look, I wish I could sound fired up. Unfortunately, I drove about 22 hours from my time. I've only gone about 4 hours.
But you're more fired up now.
I am fired up inside. I'm just trying to get the energy to show that it's not happening. But, no, I agree. I mean, we have apathetic people, and, you know, I wish we had a lot more time to really prepare to make this happen. You know, you have to realize, you know, I think it was December 15th, you know, that the step down now side came up because, you know, there was a void of discussion about any. Nobody in December was talking about the winter meeting. Nobody. And not in any fall, group, not any Tea Party group, nowhere. It wasn't even a discussion. And nobody.
My group was. I think I might have been the only group.
Yeah, and you know, I start, you know, with the help of a lot of people, we started seeding this and saying, look, let's find somebody. This guy cannot go run unopposed. He absolutely cannot go unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. And nothing. And Michelle Anderson, myself, and, you know, doesn't count Nicole Rebels and Chuck and Rex and, you know, a thousand people already have been going above and beyond. But what we need are, you know, like you just said, those thousand, they need the next 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000, they need to stand up too. And just like Mark Willis is standing up to this, trust me, that's not an easy feat. You know, and when you, it doesn't matter, you know, you can have the resolve of, you know, George Washington, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that he is the same, he's human too.
And when you were going up against the powers that be, you know, listen, there's some pushback, and I can tell you that there's some pushback.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't get the NRA to come out and endorse Rince Priebus. The NRA, you know, where does that come from? So that just tells you that when they fear that it's a win-win. You know, we can't lose here. We're going to, either expose them for the tyrants that they are, or they're going to expose them for the closed-mindedness that they will not and refuse to listen or accept a lifeline from active party people. And I say grassroots all the time. Actually, the resolution in Maine that we passed was titled, you know, Restore the Power of the Grassroots, or GOP Grassroots. And, you know, one of the things that I tried to identify with, because, you know, it is a factional type of term over the last few years. When you say grassroots, a lot of people automatically think Ron Paul. Well, you know, grassroots to me is anybody that, you know, does those things, knock on doors and make the phone calls and do all that stuff without, you know, monetary gain, some political capital in their back pocket or a pat on the back. They do so because they want to see the change happen. Well, you know, we need to get more people to want to see the change happen. And I guess by leading by example, hopefully that will give other people the strength to follow suit. And I think that this, you know, whole, you know, idea of running, you know, making sure he doesn't run unopposed, it does show that, because I've seen the metrics go from zero to this last week. Now people are in a, you know, pissed off. You know, they really are at every level. And so I wish we had another 6 months to do it. But unfortunately, people are fickle, and they, you know, our attention spans are very short. So unless it's right there in front of their face, a lot of times they don't even get upset about it. What we need to do as leaders or, you know, grassroots activists or whatever you want to call yourself, is not just look at the road and say, oh, there's a pothole here, there's a pothole here, but look down the road and say, holy, what is that? That's blocking the road completely. Well, let's forget about these potholes. Let's go take let's go take care of that bridge, because there's no going down the road, you know, and there's no sense in fixing the potholes. So, you know, I just think that we have to have a long-term outlook, you know, 2 weeks, 4 months, 8 months, 12 months, and we have to understand the structure and the cycle that we're looking at and try to break that.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I know Cindy wanted to chime in, then we'll get to Rex, but, you know, one thing you guys talked about memory, I think perhaps it was Machiavelli said that political memory is the shortest memory. Cindy, go ahead. I know you want to chime in. Then after that, we'll go to Rex, because I've wanted to chime in as well. So go ahead, Cindy.
Well, I just wanted Brian to get to point number six, because I do want to get through those points that he's running on. So, Brian, would you like to continue on?
I'll go right through those. Six was really fighting for everyday conservative values. You know, you look at, you know, what's happened in a lot of these committees, conservatives are being kicked off. You know, they're being silenced at every opportunity. And, you know, we really need to propel our principles and propel, you know, conservatism rather than just, you know, basically going along with anything. We have to really stick to our principles as a party and really hope and really try to return, you know, the prosperity of and the spirit of self-reliance and American prosperity back to our country. Seven is, you know, something that we've already talked about, is holding leaders accountable. You know, we have to continue to hold these people accountable at every single level, whether it's breaking a resolution in support of good governance, whether it's losing, you know, House and Senate seats, and as well as to the, you know, a horrible president. You know, these are things that we have to hold these representatives accountable for. And then as far as Mark's management style, you know, it's not hard to tell he's got some integrity, and it's not hard to tell that he stands on principles. And there are videos out there, and I wish we could have gotten more and more about Mark out there in such a short time,
to really to even get as far as we have. You know, I sort of hope that people would invest in their own time to look, you know, go back and rehash those videos. That's, you know, if you go to a Step Down Now site, you know, you'll see all those videos on there. And, you know, just it does make you angry. It makes me angry. You know, it makes me angry just remembering, you know, being there and participating in that and knowing that I was just a prop, you know, to where, you know, you go in there under the distinction of, like, you're a delegate in seventh, you know, to the Continental Congress. But when you get there, guess what? You know, you're just, you're really a prop. So, you know, I think I went off topic there. But, you know, Mark is, he's just, you know, he's just no different than you and I. And, you know, he's receptive to anybody's input. I mean, he was receptive to our input from the grassroots efforts that we put up to even do this. So, I mean, that should just show you that the guy is willing to listen to almost anybody who's got some valid points to make. So.
Okay, and Rex, sound like you want to chime in, or go ahead.
Sure. Here's my first question. Other than Mark and Little Rincey, who's running?
Nobody.
Then who cares about anything? Just vote for Mark. What I don't understand, these 168 committee people, what is the point of being a chairman or a committee man or a committee woman in a state party when your state party is absolutely irrelevant other than a place to hang a picture of yourself with a gavel or something stupid like that? Rule number 12 gives unprecedented power to the RNC to change party rules without the input and or approval of state parties any time between now and September 2014. What's the point of being of working in a state party if everything is called by Rince Priebus and all the other dickhead rhinos at the top? What's the point?
Tell you what that is. And I mean, I've watched it, and I think you guys have all seen it, where you've got a number of people who go in there with total principled stance. You have some of them who go in there in order to feather their nest, you know, or their pad their resume or whatever. And then you have a certain amount of people who I believe are really principled, but they get in there and they either get afraid of authority, or they get lured away by the fact that they've got a title and they've got their own GOP.com address, and you know they really think. Where I come from, we call that they're thinking who they are. You know, I've been. You know what? My first campaign was Bobby Kennedy in 1968. So I'm not a spring chicken. And they've also obviously changed my position quite a bit since those days. But I know that that revelation hit me just after that election, and I was a kid, that's what a lot of these people are there for. They're there because it makes them feel important. You know, they're there because they never read about Thomas Jefferson or John Adams. They don't know what it is to stand up and risk everything. You know, forget about your little cheap job, you know, your little cheap seat on a state committee somewhere, you know. They don't know that they don't really, it's not hit them in their gut that people stood up and they lost their fortunes, you know, their lives, their wives, their families, you know, and so people don't have that model for them. Where do you see that? You know, where do you see anybody doing that these days? Well, we do it, but they marginalize us, you know, so then do you look at? Well, you look at Barack Obama or, you know, some guy that dribbles a basketball. I mean, that's who they look at. Those people aren't standing for anything. So I know in my neighborhood, and I'm in a little town in Maine, all I can do is stand up for what's right no matter what. And I'm a little short, fat, old thing. But I will stand up, and I'm loud, and say, no, this is wrong. And it's amazing how many people will go, oh, that's what I need to do. That was a little rambling, but that's my opinion.
That's okay. Last night, and this goes with that, last night I watched Braveheart. And, you know, you get to the end of the movie, and he has gone through, you know, all this torture and everything. And with his last dying breath, he yells out, freedom. And, you know, it just reminded me of all the people. George Washington's men
were trudging through the snow with nothing but rags on their feet. And people have bled and died for this country for a long time now to give us our freedom. And yet we've gotten to a point where we are so mamby-pamby. We are such sissies that we can't even make a phone call to our representatives and tell them how they ought to be voting. We're not. It's going to come down to the masses are going to finally have to revolt again in physical revolt, because nobody will do it intellectually. They won't do what we have the power to do under the Constitution. And it's just, it's sickening.
Our government has done no, you know, they have done no favors to our education system. And, you know, I think that, you know, over time that has played into a lot of the appetite that people added or attitudes that people have. And, you know, you don't hear those stories. You don't recollect that history. And they don't even teach that stuff anymore. You know, and it becomes second nature in humankind to just, you know, feed on others. And that's really what it is people feeding on other people. So
legal plunder. Legal plunder.
So
that's the problem.
According to number 7 point, how do we hold our party leaders accountable? How do we do that? What does
you
that
don't.
Look like?
If Priebus wins, you don't hold anybody accountable to anything. It's over. I mean, the rules are very clear. If Priebus wins, there is no party. So, I mean, that's why
right.
this is important. So how you hold people accountable now? You call them over and over and over again. You get more people to call them. I'm surprised that there aren't more people calling. It's just baffling to me, because the simple fact is, and I don't even understand, if you're a committee man, a committee woman, or a chair, you know, you want your fluffy little position, do you really think that that means anything if no one shows up to your events? Because why the hell would we show up? Why the hell would we give you money? Why would we go door knocking? Why would we do shit for your candidate if you're the one that's picking everything from the top and our voice is irrelevant? So there's no point in being a chairman of a state party. You're going to get nothing. I mean, yeah, you'll get the same morons, you know, 65 million morons who pay attention once every 4 years will show up and pull the button for the elephant or the R. You know, that's about it. But you're not going to win with that, because the Democrats are far more organized, and they're going to kick the crap out of the Republicans in every election from now for the next 20 years if Rince Priebus is elected. It's just that simple. And in my opinion, I mean, I'm almost at the mindset now where, you know what, if it happens, then the Republican Party is pointless. They're the Whigs. I wouldn't
even
spit on them. So, you know, this is their last shot. This is their last shot. These 168 committee members who are probably listening, and if they're not listening, someone should send them this. All 168 of you, if you don't unanimously elect Mark Willis, you just killed the party. You know, you thought you could get away with it in Tampa. You didn't, because you ran your rhino and you lost. You lost by huge numbers to a guy who had 13% less votes than he did last time. Obama was the easiest son of a bitch to beat, and you lost because your son of a bitch was even worse. Okay? That's the shape of things to come for all of you, because guess what? You think you've been bleeding out the last 20 years? You haven't seen shit yet. It's likely that you won't even get 45 million votes in the next election in 2014 with your Jeb Bush or your Marco Rubio or whatever other douchebag you're going to run. So if you want to commit suicide, do it. And have all the consultants pay, you know, make their money on all the dumb donors like the Koch brothers are willing to give you the money. But without numbers, without voters turning out for you, you can't win. And the voters that decide are never the ones that go pull the deer the R. It's the people who actually think, and guess what? None of us are going to vote Republican if you reelect Priebus, because we're not going to put up with your crap. That's how a party commits suicide.
I do agree that the party is committing suicide, even if they run, if he runs unopposed. I mean, and if they continue with these rules here, I mean, I have, you know, they have a resolution meeting tomorrow at 3. I don't believe that they'll even bring it up, you know, but, you know, let alone change anything. And, you know, from the inside, you know, you get these ones they want to get rid of, they get rid of one or two of them, but they'd want to keep 12. Well, that's not good enough. None of them are. Those rules got to go, period. And that's why I'm here in North Carolina now, because, you know, I feel strongly. Look, I've been fighting to be a Republican for 19 years. I really have. I've been fighting to be a Republican for 19 years, a real Republican. And here I am, and now this is, to me, this is like my last big fight. I want, after this, you're going to have to fight for me. You know, and, you know, it's unfortunate that they don't really see the outcome of what could really happen, come the 28th or whatever it is, that Monday, and just see, I could just see it now, a mass exodus of people out of the Republican Party. And I would hate to see that happen, but at the same token, people have to come with their own resolve, and they have to come to their own conclusions on what is the best vehicle to facilitate change. Now, does that mean you go independent, libertarian, whatever? That's for those to decide. Let's just hope that they have the fortitude enough to look into the individuals that they're supporting, whatever election it is, and they vote for principle. So.
Well, gentlemen and ladies, real quick, I just want to put a little reminder out there. We do have about 15 minutes left of live show, but one of the good things here about the Blog Talk Radio is that it does afford us to have about 59 minutes after the live portion to go to extended recorded session. So what we could do is we can just continue on, but first I'd like to give in the call-in number at 347-945-7428. For those of you who would like to listen to live, the extended version that would be recorded, or if you'd like to call in to chime in, just push 1 on your number dial, and I'll open up the mics. So once again, if you'd like to listen in to the live, to the recorded session, after the live session goes off in about 15 minutes, it's 347-945-7428. And, of course, if you're not or cannot, you can listen to the archive almost immediately after the show would end. So go ahead, gentlemen. I guess we'll go to you, Brian, and then we'll move on from there.
Is there any – I don't really have anything – I think we've covered a lot of stuff here. Is there any other thoughts or questions that anybody else has?
Yeah, we'll open it up. Chris, anything?
Yeah, I do have a question. and when Rex, he jumped all over this real early and put together a bunch of stuff and, brought it to the groups and over to my group. And I kept asking this question. This is a Ron Paul national delegate. What the hell are the Ron Paul groups doing? And I'm on about 15 different Ron Paul groups, from everything from lawyers to Ron Paul to whatever. And I've been busy working on the Second Amendment thing since the shooting, the Connecticut thing, because I knew that was going to be a hot button. And so that's where I've been focusing. And Rex kind of took this, the bull by the horn on this. And every once in a while, I would go around the Ron Paul sites and ask questions and come back over and ask Rex and go back over and look around and see the tone of things and come back over and going, the frick is going on? Is anybody aware that this is going on? Where are the Ron Paul people? Where's the fire? Where's the passion that I've seen in the Ron Paul movement? Are they doing anything, or they give up and they're just back to posting conspiracies 24/7?
They've lost heart.
What's your point?
That's tough. I mean, that's a tough answer there to give you. I feel like, you look at the Tea Party when they first started, I thought that they had a legitimate start. And unfortunately, over time, they were co-opted by the powers that be. And as far as the Ron Paul movement, I mean, I do feel that there are those that are still involved day to day. I talk to them and, they're on the message and, they're really propagating that in their own, their own home states. But, for the most part, they're not there. I agree, they're not. I don't know what – they got their head in the sand, or they're just disillusioned now, or whatever it is. I can say, though, it does seem odd to me that, you get people like A.J. Spiker out of Iowa, who was just reelected, and a prominent Ron Paul person who turns around and supports Vince Priebus. It does bother me that states that have gone and passed these resolutions against the rules, it can't see it for what it is saying, well, you can't just get rid of the rules. You got to get rid of the tyrant that, helped facilitate the sin. And, Vince Priebus isn't the end all. There's a lot of people that I'm sure are above and beyond him as far as, with the influence and the power. But
Priebus is a tool. He's not a leader. He's a tool.
He's not a leader. You know, and unfortunately, they want puppets. You know, and that's what a politician or really politics is about. Really, is puppets, and it's unfortunate. We need more people to stand up with spines than we do puppets. So.
And I do see some more people, real quick, have called in. And just as reiterate and a reminder that if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your phone dial, and then we'll open up the mic if you'd like to chime in. Of course, if you'd just like to stand and listen, that's fine as well. It sounded like Cindy wanted to chime in. So thank you, Cindy. Apologize for the interruption, but go ahead.
No problem. So basically point number 8 was we need a new management style. So I guess what you mean is we need a chairman who's not a crook. Absolutely, but we need to talk about logistical management. We got a business to run, and does Mark know business? I mean, I know he knows tech, but does he know business?
Does Rince Pubic know business? I mean, does it matter? I mean, if the only thing Mark Willis has ever run is a lemonade stand, he's more qualified than Rince Priebus.
Well, that's what I mean. Right. By just the fact that we don't have a chairman that's a crook is going to help us out a whole lot.
Yeah.
Brian, are you still there? Did we lose Brian?
Yep, I'm sorry. Actually, I accidentally put on mute.
Okay.
As far as business leadership, he has ran his own farm for a number of years, and as somebody who has done that myself, that is not an easy feat, especially being self-reliant. I think as far as the business model that Mark could offer through his management style is one of really using the money wisely. Are we going to, the biggest thing is where we waste our money are on these political consultants. And so, to use that money, to get rid of those guys and to get, the bad advice and the bad direction that they offer, I mean, that's a great start. Obviously, there is a team of people that would have to be put together to make sure that we are very seriously competitive. I know Mark has reached out to people, but he's more concerned at this point of just, making sure that people understand that there are active party members. This is the lifeline Mark is throwing them. It really is. That's what it boils down to. And, if Mark was to be elected by, if he was to be elected, then, I think that the party would definitely have some more time. You know what I mean? It buys the party time. Now, is Mark the end-all answer for anything? No. What is the answer? Is, those ideas and those active members that participate to forward those ideas and to forward those thoughts and to forward the direction that they would like to see as well. And that's where it has to come from. We can't expect just to elect somebody and that they have all the answers. That's no different than advocating against a top-down structure. What we have to advocate are for those principal people that when you give them in the room and they have to make a decision, that it's always going to be on the side of, of truth, and of a valid, just of truth, really. So, that's about all I would really, I would think Mark would be the best person to really advocate as far as his own management style. I don't really speak for Mark. I speak with Mark because I stand right next to him, and I know that there's many people. I know Rex has gone out of his way to stand next to Mark, and there's, thousands of people that are currently working to make sure that this happens, and, I really do, for the sake of the party and for the sake of active members of every state, that we do have our voice heard, And I do hope that Mark has the opportunity to address the body of RNC and provide them an alternative and provide them the voice that us, the grassroots, have you know, given him to give to them. So I think there's not a better spokesman than Mark. I do, you know, if you go back and you listen to how he represented our main delegation leading up to Tampa and afterwards, I think he did so with quite a bit of integrity and resolve. He's never wavered in that resolve. I've known him for well over a year now, very closely working with him, and you know, I'm very proud to say that he's my friend.
Well, I was just going to bring up another point and start a new subject. So if you have something else to say before that, go ahead.
Well, sure. Real quick, I do see that the live time has about 5 minutes left. So, of course, I'd like to thank everyone who came in to listen to the live version here on Bard's Logic Political Talk. I'd like to thank all you who've called in, especially thank you very much, Brian, for taking the time out of your busy event to come in and speak with us this evening. And for those of you listening on the archive, thank you very much for coming in to listen to the show. Of course, whether you're listening through Blog Talk Radio, through the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, or some of the other venues that the show has listened to, thank you very much. And if you don't listen to the or call in for the extended version at 347-945-7428, thank you very much again. Come in. You are welcome for chat participation and calling in. Have a good night and take care. Go ahead, Cindy.
Okay. Well, Brian, I think a great need that we need, you know, Newt outlined five great tools that the Republican Congress can use to reform our government. We can sort of use at least one of these for reforming the party. And that's communication. And part of the reason why we don't win elections, or we haven't been able to win elections with the kind of people they're trying to give us and shove us down our throat, is because we have no communication within the party. We have no way for the grassroots people to know what the leadership is doing and what they're thinking and what are their goals? What are their schemes? You know, does Brian talk about how we might? I mean, he could become a liaison between our representatives and the grassroots people instead of some kind of a puppet voice of the Republican establishment like Priebus is. You could bring the voice of the people back into play, and tremendous things could happen. Tremendous things could be accomplished. So, you know, does he have some kind of a plan to address this need to communicate with the
Yeah, he actually does. We were kicking back and forth about a week ago some ideas as far as, you know, how do you allow these voices from the very bottom to be heard? You know, and that was really the premise of our discussion. And, you know, one of the things that he had brought up, and, you know, obviously there's a lot more thought that would have to be put into it, but, you know, when you, you know, instead of surrounding yourself by political consultants that are paid, you know, but perhaps even having, you know, a designated person from every state, you know, and a standing committee or, you know, there's a lot of options there that you could afford to have some communication back and forth. And the key thing is just organization and communication, having lines of communication. You know, you look at our GOP.com website, right, for our national party here, and when you click on the RNC members, half of that stuff is the wrong information, and then on top of that, there's no contact information anymore. You know, they stripped that out of there. There is no communication from that way, and, you know, that would have to change, you know, and the best way about going about doing that is probably not going to come from a discussion from Mark and I. It's going to come from a discussion of all of us and a bunch of other people too, you know, and that's where we have to invest the time and energy into learning, you know, not just Robert's rules, but you know, our own bylaws and our own rules and the way, you know, we would like to see things done. There are committees that, you know, they have a convention committee. They have these types of committees that hopefully would prevent some of these things from occurring again. But unfortunately, you have to have somebody there to put people on those committees that are actually going to do something. You know what I mean? Rather than just another title that, you know, oh, you chair this committee or that committee. So, you know, I can't give you a definitive answer as far as exactly this is exactly what Mark Willis, who, you know, is proposing to do, you know, to make sure that every last grassroots voice is heard. But I can tell you that it is a very valid concern that he does have, and we have spoken about it, and it is something, you know, I hope that we get to really discuss later on. I mean, you know, just at this point, looking at where we are with Mark's candidacy for the chair, I mean, and technically we still need a third state. So, I mean, to really talk, you know, put the cart before the horse, I mean, it's a good idea to bring that up and think about it. But at the same token, I think that the media action has to be now to make sure that we could have that choice to make sure that the grassroots voice is heard. So, yeah, that's about all I'd say on that.
All right. Well, thanks. You know, I don't think a lot of people even realize how poor the situation is with our communication. And the reason I want you to talk about these issues is because I want the people that I invited a lot of people to listen that don't usually listen, and I'm hoping that either through, you know, archives or tonight they're listening somehow. They need to know what's going on that is not brought up. It's not talked about on Fox or any other place because this is hidden. There's a reason why they're not communicating. There's a reason why they don't have emails up on the site. They don't want to hear from us. They've turned a deaf ear to us. They showed us that at the convention. And now they're so bold about it, it's like they don't even care that we know about it. So, and these things, and there's another thing that needs to be brought out that's devastating to the Republican Party. If you look around the world at countries who have so-called democratic elections, there's one common problem in almost all of them. They got voter fraud. And that's what has been on the increase here in America. We have had so much of it. We have had an astronomical increase in voter fraud. And one of the biggest problems this party has is that stupid court ruling where we have a gag rule. We're not allowed, as a national party, we're not allowed to contest any voter fraud problems that we come across. They can't ever contest that in court again. That's pretty devastating. And well, most people don't know about that.
Well, one of the things that we can do, right, and I just look at it through a realist point of view. So, you know, say, you know, let's go back to, you know, November 12th or November 2nd or whatever, and let's go back to the election, and then here we are. Well, there is voter fraud. You know, we're very aware of that. And there are, you know, obviously legislative issues that could be pushed to sort of correct that. But more importantly, I really feel it's the people being actively involved. You have an opportunity at your local level to become, you know, a poll watcher. You know, and granted, you know, if you're a grassroots type of person and you're getting out through your neighborhood, your district, right, more than, you know, even 5,000, 7,000, 8,000 people, you know, there's a good chance that if you're out there throughout the whole election cycle, that if you become a poll watcher and for your district and they're coming in, that you've already met a lot of these people. The problem is we shut our communities off, and, you know, we turn the Xbox on, and we, you know, turn reality TV on, and that's it. And we just accept what these talking heads tell us in between time. So we're not reaching out to the community. We don't even know who our neighbors are. So when you want to address voter fraud, I mean, yeah, there's systematic things that you can do, you know, voter or having an ID or, you know, there's that. But there's also the fact that it's our fault. We're asking them to fix the problem because we're not getting up off our butts and going out into the communities and learning who our neighbors are. You know what I mean? So,
well, that's,
I mean,
the great thing about the True the Vote people are really bringing it. What are they, 50,000 people now?
Yeah.
We're working with True the Vote, and I was a poll watcher for them.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that, but see, most people in the general population don't know that. So if our party on the national level can't, you know, get that word down to the people that, hey, we can't do anything about it, you're going to have to. But you, who's ever heard of this? Nobody's heard of this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It falls down into education, though. And again, you know, it's always going to, you know, we can't, we always got to accept where we fall short, and we always got to hold those people accountable for what they do. And where we fall short is as active party members, you know, we sitting in a sounding room every month, I'm sure, in your county committees or your Liberty meetups or your, you know, whatever meetup you go to, and we're talking to the same people we're talking to every other month. But we're not talking to the people that don't hold those same values or, you know, don't agree with 98% of everything. You know what I mean? We need to reach out to those people that aren't in the fold yet or aren't even close to being in the fold. And if that means you're moving your county committee meeting outside of some, you know, buffet to actually go out to a college and, you know, get younger people involved or going out to even, an elderly home and reaching out to those voters and telling them that, you know, there's opportunities for them to participate as well. I mean, that falls on us as active party members. And granted, you know, we don't have that many numbers to do that with, so it's a big task at hand. We just have to continue to reach out and get people involved on our own local levels. And I think that it's not going to correct everything because no matter what, there's always going to be someone that wants to, you know, get over and vote once, twice, three times, 15 times, not out of their own self, you know, but just out of, you know, whatever intention that they have. You know, you're always going to have that. And, you know, I do think there are things that we could do to prevent that from happening on such a large scale. But I think more so, if we are more invested in our communities and reaching out to our neighbors, which we should be doing, so we can actually give them, you know, a piece of this message. They're not all going to bite into it, but at least they know that there's an open door there with you, and at least they know where you stand. And until somebody does take a stand, nobody else will. So,
yeah, I think it's all about education.
Remember, that's one of the things that I know we've railed out a lot here on Bard's Logic is, you know, people spend more time watching the reality shows than actually getting into, you know, reality and get to what's real and get involved, because these things are important to be a part of. Because you got, you know, you're all right. I mean, if it's less people get out there and actually do something instead of just, as this Rex just pointed out, you know, bitch and complain and moan, then nothing's going to be getting done. And speaking of Rex, so if Rex and Chris here, if either one of you gentlemen would like to chime in, go ahead.
Rex.
There's Chris.
Let's not all speak
first
at once. All right.
You're first.
We're all being all polite. Right. See, I used the word gentleman, so you all thought you had to be polite. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I was sure you were talking about somebody else when you said gentleman.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I was using the term loosely. No.
I got confused. Guy. You said gentleman. I got confused. I thought you were talking to Brian. Actually, I've been cussing up a storm, but I put it on mute because, you know, I don't want to violate Robert's rules.
Nope. I appreciate that.
Robert's order.
Go ahead.
I think. Look, we all know what the problem is. We all know the general apathy in the country. We know, and look, you're never going to get people motivated. I mean, you know, if you're looking for full participation in the political process, it's never happened in this country.
Right.
It may be lower now than it's ever been, but it doesn't take a full process. It takes an active minority. And that's exactly what these rules that they legally passed in Tampa quell, because they know that that's dangerous. All this bullshit that I heard about, the Ron Paul people were taking advantage of the rules to take over the party. Take over the party to do what? Promote the Constitution and conservative principles and their candidate choice? That's insane. Oh, my goodness. Why would they want to do that? We have to stop them. You know, look, I mean, Ron Paul wasn't my pick. I wanted Newt Gingrich. But you know what? If Ron Paul happened to have a better organized ground game, more power to him. And if he becomes the nominee, you know, through the proper process, then I'll support him 100% all the way against Barack Obama. But we never got that chance. We never even knew if there were enough votes to nominate Ron Paul, because they shut it down. And then these arcane rules they have, the draconian rules that they have right now, eliminate that active minority. And the fact is, who do you want involved in the political process? Some douchebag watching Kim Kardashian on TV stuffing his face with Twinkies? Do you want him making a decision? Or do you want somebody making a decision who's willing to spend the time and the money and go to the meetings and get elected and go to the convention and be active? Who do you want making the decision? I don't want the guy stuffing his face with Doritos and watching Kim Kardashian or who's dancing with the retards or whatever it is that they're doing. You know, that's not the kind of person you want active. So if we have full participation, you got a democracy. And if you have a democracy, you end up right where we are today. They'll keep reelecting a guy like Barack Obama, who's going to give them more free crap and free phones. Okay, so you want a republic. And in a republic, it is those who are active, who are involved, and who know what's going on that show up. And that's exactly what Ron Paul inspired, and that's exactly what little Rince Pubic shut down with John Sununu and John Boehner illegally, because they don't want that in their party. Guess what? This is your last shot. You put Mark Willis in there, he can fix a broken party, and this party will matter and be relevant, and for the next 20 years will dominate all the elections. Or you can reelect little Prince Pubic, and this party will die because nobody's going to want to show up and participate. It's that simple. So make your calls. Call all 168 of these people and ask them, why would you want to be in a state party that has absolutely no role in the general party, because everything is decided by six guys in a room in Rince Priebus's backyard?
You're very true. I mean,
yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, you nailed it, you know. Rex and I are sitting there in chat, cussing back and forth at each other, so that when we came on, we could speak nicely.
Yeah, it's like, why do you want to hold on to your
logically?
Why
right,
do you want to hold on to your power? They also worry about losing their power, you know, so they don't want to vote for somebody like Mark. Well, so what if you hold your power? A power to do what? In a dead party? How much fun is that?
Cindy, you know what they want? I mean, this may be a stretch for some people, but I think they're either so insane they just can't believe it or understand it, or they've settled into a new world order that Obama's going to build, and they want to make sure they get seats at the table.
Yep.
It can be that freaking ugly. And
mm-hmm. Yes,
you got to know that. And
well,
that kind of thinking
is just insane, because let's be clear about something. Or every time you play patty cake with the devil, okay, you don't end up at his right hand. You end up in his path at some point, okay? Even citizen Robespierre ended up under the guillotine, okay? So when you make compromises, which is precisely what conservatives don't do, when you make compromises, you get chopped up. This party will become so irrelevant, it won't even be a footnote on the Democrat donkey's ass. If they don't fix
Well, I agree with you 100% on that. And the problem is I think these people are so freaking corrupt and so far from the masses, their understanding. I mean, people keep we've had this conversation many times, and I've said it over and over and over again. The problem isn't the left. The left and the Democrats do what they say they're going to do. They have been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
They run a platform, and then they get in Congress, and then they kick the shit out of the Democrat or the Republicans. I'm sorry, I got confused. And they kick the crap out of the Republicans, and they pass unconstitutional bills, and they they move their agenda forward. That is not the problem. That's I don't do the Obama news of the day on my group because I don't want to hear it. I'm concerned with the party who is supposed to be protecting the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, religion, you know, individual freedom, state sovereignty, you know, strong national defense, but not being in, you know, all over the world invading everybody else's life. You know, that's who we're supposed to be as a party. Well, the problem is, I mean, I can go back, I don't know, even Nixon, and show you where he abused the shit out of that platform. You know, and the thing is we've been voting R for so many years that we think that is the champion of these things. They get in there. They don't do anything about abortion. They don't cut that. I mean, come on. You know, everybody's going, everybody bitches every day. Oh, it'd be nice if we had a budget. Well, when was the last time a Republican president put out a budget? Did anybody have that answer? And if you don't, it was Eisenhower. Come on. Republicans don't do it either. We've got to get off this left-right paradigm. How many debt ceiling increases did Bush do? Five? You know what I mean? We're still paying for the war of terror. You know, come on. And that's what people need to wake up to, is get off the left attack. Look at your own party. I have said this is my number one drive, and I don't care if it's an independent, a monkey party, a Republican, a Constitution Party, Libertarian, you know, anybody. I don't care who it is. My goal is to get rid of, yeah, really, or the Lemon Party, is to get rid of the Bush-era rhinos. People don't understand why Obama used the Bush era again and won again. You know why? Because Congress is full of Bush's people that helped get us where we're at. Yeah, Obama's taking it to a new level, but Bush broke the record on debt increases, on insanity in spending. All those Republicans, the Boehners, the Cantors, the McConnells, the Paul Ryan that everybody thought was a conservative, excuse me, have you ever looked at a stupid voting record? People need to wake the hell up and start understanding that if you want to save your country, you don't do it by attacking the Democrat. And, hey, what's his name at FreedomWorks, Tibby, said that they realized that they had to defeat the Republicans before they could defeat the Democrats. I don't know how many times I put that quote on my group through the primary. You know, you've got to focus where the problem's at. This knight in white shiny armor is not who you think he is. And that's the problem. You keep thinking that the Republicans are supposed to be solving problems. Tell me one thing Boehner has done to stop Obama in the last 2 years. That's where the problem is at. That's where the traitors are at. That's where the poison is at. And if we don't fix that, the left is just going to run this thing right off a cliff. You know, you might as well say, welcome to the UN rule, because that's the goal.
Yeah,
I go too far there?
No, I would say that this is, you know, everything that's been discussed up to this point on the show is, you know, substantially valid and should be sent to every red-blooded American that exists today. You know, unfortunately, probably 98% of them wouldn't take the time to listen to it. And you're right, we don't need a majority of people to do it. They didn't need a majority of people to, you know, to win our freedom here in the United States. So the way I look at it is, if we don't begin to really take a hard look at where we're going with our plans, without reaching to the communities, without reaching to each other, without networking, I mean, this whole thing with Mark Willis would never be even possible without what they did in Tampa, you know, because it upset so many people and, you know, it networked so many people that were so concerned about what was going on in their party, and they're still concerned. You know, we just got to make sure that, you know, we take it to that next level and get that another flock and another flock of people and expose them at every opportunity that we can to show them that this is business as usual for them, and they have no cause of concern for you, your life, your liberty, or your pursuit of happiness, period. And with that, you guys, I do have to call it a night here, and I really appreciate you having me on the show, and I love talking to you guys. And Rex, I really do appreciate all the valiant efforts you've been you know, sharing all that stuff. And, man, I'm telling you, you guys are A1 in my book.
Well, thank you very much, Brian, for coming on to the show and, of course, spending the extended time with us that you have. Tell Mark, I'm sure, for all of us, good luck. We wish him well. We hope to, you know, that he finds victory in beating Priebus, because it's not just something, at least I'm sure I can't speak for everybody, but I believe the sentiment is amongst all of us that not only that the future of the Republican Party could very well be at stake, but we can actually be looking even at the start being the very future of the country being at stake as well, because, you know, we're going to have to stop what Obama is doing and what the liberal progressives are doing as well. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. And if anybody is in North Carolina or traveling this way, I would say make sure you know, check around your pages, because we will be meeting at the Westin tomorrow around 9 o'clock. I do know that there are those that plan to protest us to whatever length they can. And, you know, I hope that they have the support of everybody that cannot attend. So and with that, again, thank you guys. And I'll probably listen as I lay down and get ready for another fight tomorrow. So appreciate
hey,
all
Brian.
The help.
Brian, you're my hero, buddy. You're my hero, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Take care, buddy.
If you need us to do any more shows, if Mark wants to get any word out or anything like that, just you know, hit me up on Facebook or Robert or Chris, and one of us will do a show tomorrow night and the night after if we need it.
All right. Yeah, I'll definitely reach out with Mark tomorrow and try to find a time available, because I know he'd like to address you guys as just as much as I enjoyed the opportunity. So, and then coming from him, it's a lot stronger. So, all right, guys, I appreciate it, and
thanks,
good luck.
Brian.
Hey,
Brian.
I'll let you know what happens. Yes, ma'am.
Brian, just be sure Mark knows how much we're thankful to him for taking this fight on, and
right.
Just give him a big pat on the back. Thank you.
I will, and he needs it, guys. He definitely needs it. So, all right, and you guys take care, and I'll keep you updated. So, good night.
Good night. We appreciate it. Take care.
Yep. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Definitely, definitely appreciate the extended time that he spent with us this evening, and we're looking forward to those updates. And, you know, folks, get out there and make a difference, get involved, and, you know, go to some of the sites that we've talked about here tonight. You know, call your state chairpersons, and, you know, let your voice be heard. The grassroots needs to stand up. So if anyone else would like to chime in, we do look like we have about a little less than a half hour of extended period. We don't necessarily have to take all that time, but we do have that available if we'd like to proceed forward. So what I'll do is, of course, I always defer to the ladies first. So I'll go to you, Cindy, and then we can go to Rex and then Chris, and then I will continue from there. Go ahead, Cindy.
Thank you, Robert. I just wanted to ask Rex. I know Sunday on the show you had said you were planning to have a show on maybe possibly have a show Thursday. Are you still thinking about doing that, Rex?
Well, it's kind of up to Mark and Brian. There's no reason for Tex and Rex to do a show unless they've got something that they need us to do.
Right. Okay.
So, if he gets back in touch with me and tells me he wants to do one tomorrow night or wants to do one on Thursday, either way, totally happy to do it.
Okay. Well, keep me posted. Give me a link, because I'll probably want to listen and see what happens. I'm excited about this, and it's like you're waiting on a it's like you're waiting with bated breath, you know, like I'm holding my breath. Are we actually going to have a chance to have a voice here, you know? So I want to know what goes on.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brian is going to be our resource because he's right there. I mean, it's not like we're going to get this reported by Faux News or Commie News Network or MSLSD or any other crap. So, you know, hopefully Brian will keep us posted and, you know, check out his Facebook page and the Mark Willis for RNC chair. I'm sure there will be information there. And, you know, we'll do a show and have him on, you know, either me or Chris or Robert, whoever's available.
Yep. Okay, well, thanks. We appreciate you guys doing that, you and Chris both. I've been trying to keep up with you guys a little bit, and I appreciate y'all doing this.
We appreciate you guys, you putting this together with Robert and coming out here and doing this.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, come on. Yeah, as you said, you know, it's our show tonight. So, and speaking of that, you can normally hear the Rex and Tech Show on Sunday evenings from 10 p.m. till midnight, and that, of course, is Eastern Time. And so, a lot leading up to Rex, if there's anything else you'd like to add in the extended edition here, go ahead.
Well, I will tell everybody who's listening in archives, make sure you download this show by right-clicking on the download link, and also check out the last two Sundays' Tex and Rex show for more information about Mark Willis challenging Rince Pubic. And don't let up. I mean, right now is the time to call and email and tweet and Facebook to all the Republicans you can get your hands on, especially these 168 committee members, because if they reelect Rince Pubis, then, I mean, forget about it. Your voice is irrelevant anymore. You as a grassroots, local, rank-and-file Republican activist, you won't matter. So, you know, this is it. This is the 11th hour, and if it's the bottom of the ninth, you either win the game now or pack your balls up and go home.
Yeah, and then with, I was just going to make a comment, Chris, and go ahead. I was just going to say, and then with Boehner getting there, and then if Rince Priebus, that's going to be like a, you know, just a double, you know, punch in the face, you know, if Rince Priebus gets reelected in his position. So I just want to throw that out there. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, Rex was talking about packing up your balls and going home. I think that's the biggest problem is they already did that. Mm-hmm. I have my experience in the last 2 years with the Republicans is been really disheartening. You know, I just watched them just sell everything down the drain. You know, hand Obama everything he wanted on a silver platter. You know, they'd groan and moan and. You would not believe, it's just mind-boggling because, you know, I'm all over the Second Amendment thing, how few of those people in Congress got up and made a strong stand. A couple of them. I mean, all they had to do was come up and do a big old, you know, a big press conference and go, you know, you might as well quit talking about this because we are, what part of thou shalt not infringe don't you people understand? And counter the BS and the lies about, you know, assault weapons and magazine, you know, and all this crap, and just counter the lies and, you know, the loophole and the gun show loophole and all this crap, which we, you know, I've talked about, what am I on 11, on my 12th show on this now, you know, and just counter it and say that nothing's going to happen, period. And the report, so let's move back to the important things like the fact that our country's fallen apart, you know, and none of them, you know, Rand Paul, you know, it's just amazing to me how little they do, how little they get out in front and just address things and move on. Now they're talking about some this stupid debt thing, ceiling thing. I was just reading a post while we were talking. I'm like, excuse me? That's a plan? I mean, Newt has laid out everything they need to do, you know, to basically control. I mean, first of all, he laid out everything they could have done the last 2 years, which they haven't done, appropriations, everything else, and we've all discussed this. So here we are. This thread of insanity and lack of cojones, you know, they must, like you said, they must have packed them up and went home with them or something, but this thread runs through this party like you wouldn't believe. They stomp the crap out of conservatives. They stomp the crap, put a boot on the neck of the Tea Party Patriots, you know, when they got in there, got elected, that we busted our butts to get elected in 2010. You know, they put a boot on their neck. They kick them off of committees. You know, they reelect Boehner. Are you serious? And then they turn around and Priebus runs unimposed. If you do the research, because I did the research on this, I don't know, what was it, a month or so ago? It was really hard to get the data on the election itself, the RNC chair. And when I got my hands on some information and I looked at past elections, there's usually two or three guys running, or people, and it usually goes five or six vote rounds before somebody wins.
And this right, jerk, take it after t- he after
didn't
he
it
lost,
take a while for him to get elected?
Yeah, he took like the fifth or sixth round. And the thing is and this jerk who just lost everything and pissed away $1 billion is running unopposed. That's what blew me away, you know. And if that's a sign of things to come, and how they treated Willis, and they tried to pull that little, oh, he was on the ballot with Ron Paul and all this crap in Maine, you know, and doing whatever they could to discredit him. And I'm thinking, this is all you people know. And you think that with the millions of people that just stayed home, were so disgusted at what they saw through the primary, the convention, and what Romney represented, the guy couldn't lie fast enough. In every other sentence was a flip-flop all the way through. 6 years later, he still couldn't talk, you know. And this is what you guys expect us, you know, as Republicans to put up with? I'm telling you, I you know, there are times when I look at this stuff, I step back going, they want to destroy the party, fold it into the DNC, and just hand it away. That's, you know, that hangs on that outer edge, you know, on that conspiratorial side of my mind.
Well, there is some logic in there.
You know, I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me. But anyway, we have fought a long, hard battle, guys and gals. My God. You know, I think about where we met, all of us, and what we've been through and how we fought and we're still fighting, you know?
Yep. We started fighting with Sammy, and we're still fighting.
Indeed.
Look at y'all with your spinoffs. You got Tex and Rex and Coalition of Freedom and Bard's Logic. You guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you very much, Cindy, for as Chris said, you know, getting this.
I'm not laughing at you, Cindy. I'm just going.
Oh, I know you're not. I know.
You're just laughing at the events of that have transpired in the past. You know, as you said, over a year now.
Every morning I wake up and pour a cup of coffee and go, what the hell am I doing here?
Well,
what am I doing here? And
folks, where Chris is at is that is Coalition of Freedom, both on Blog Talk Radio, and also check that out for the archives for his show, as well, of course, the Tex and Rex show, and also check out their Facebook pages, which is the Tex and Rex show on Facebook. Just look that up in your search engine there on Facebook, and also to find Coalition of Freedom there, to find some great links, some great information, and of course, if you go to the Tex and Rex page, there is a like. So just let them know that, you know, you appreciate what the Tex and Rex for their show is doing and like that. And also, if you go to their shows on Blog Talk Radio, there's a little follow button in which you can just click under the show's icon, in which you can also follow their shows as well and suggest doing that as a way of, you know, showing appreciation for all the hard work that they've done in the past year to get us where we are today and trying to get information out that you will not hear on the mainstream media nor in a lot of times from the so-called conservative alternative medias as well. So what I'll do here is if everyone's chimed in on what they'd like to say last for the ending of the show, I will say thank you again for all you guys for coming in. And any last few words, and then I'll end as I always end, and that is with a song here. So we'll go with, for the last parting words, we'll go with Cindy, Rex, and then Chris, and then we'll end with the music.
I just want to say, everybody that hears this in, you know, archives or whatever, you got to get off your rear end. You got to have to get out there and do something. Listen, you're going to have to fight for freedom. Freedom is not free. It is always fought for. You must always watch over it vigilantly. You cannot just sit back and coast. No such thing with freedom. And I'm with Braveheart. Freedom!
Thank you, Cindy. Go ahead, Rex.
Well,
The only thing I've got to say is you've got 2 days. Make it count. Don't be posting the news of the day, the Benghazi this and the Kim Kardashian that. Who cares? Just call, email, and tweet all 168 committee members and tell them that they had better fire Priebus and hire Mark Willis. It's that simple. Because if you don't do this now, all the work you're going to do for the next 2 years for any Republican candidate is pointless, absolutely pointless, unless the candidate happens to be a loser like Mitt Romney, in which case, if you support a guy like that, you don't want to listen to me anyway. So sack up and get the work done, because if the Republican Party goes down, by the time we get a third or alternate party into its place, the Democrats would have run this country into the ground.
Yeah. Thank you, Rex. And go ahead, Chris.
No, ditto. Ditto on that. And that's just so important to understand that. You know, we've got 2014. And here's something that's real important to understand. 2014 is next year, folks. The election. You know, they're fielding candidates right now. They're deciding who they can run, who they can win. And, you know, so we're already into 2014. It's preseason for that race. And that's a very important race, because that's House and Senate and governorships and, of course, your state houses. But on a national level, you know, that's House and Senate. And I can tell you right now, while we're sitting here trying to figure out why in the hell we had a guy run who lost everything, run unopposed, with one man to run against him who his qualifications is smear Priebus all over the place, you know. And while we're arguing over this, the Democrat machine is fully in place, oiled, and ready to go. I actually posted a video on my group and kind of pinned it at the top of the group for a while. For people to watch, even though they can't stand the person that's on it, you need to look at that, because you need to be afraid. Their machine, they're just warming up. You know what I mean? They're not debating who's the most conservative, who was the first Tea Party leader, was it Ron Paul, was it Newt? You know, everybody, their fractions are in sync. They just won an election. And they're like, okay, socialism, here we come. We're on a roll. Their machine is in gear, and we're standing around trying to figure out if we can get a guy to beat the worst guy we could have. That right there, you need to wake up. That's my input.
All right, and I'd like to say good night, everyone. Take care until we meet again, and please stick around to enjoy. To bring us down from this exciting evening, some music. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.